I will now answer for you the question that you've all been wondering since the beginning of the service. With Pastor David not here, who's preaching this morning? I will relieve your greatest fears and tell you no, it is not me. Our brother Brian Spivey has agreed to bring us the word this morning. So, Brian, if you'd come join us up front.
Good morning. I'm going to be preaching from the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. And I'll be reading from 15, verses 15 to 20. And let us pray. Father, we do thank you today. We give you praise this morning. We thank you for the news that we heard about Laurel, that she's doing better. But Lord, it has impressed upon our mind the importance of time and how we are to utilize it, because it is not promised to any of us. We thank you for this time. Help me, Lord, to deliver this word with accuracy. And I ask the Holy Spirit to help me to deliver it so that it's clear. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to quickly talk to the young people before young, like 2 years old all the way up until 18. Young people, before I get started, I wanted to bring a message this morning that I thought was great. I worked hard on it. But the pastor, if you notice in your bulletin, he's preaching on the Holy Spirit. He's supposed to be preaching on the Holy Spirit this morning. And I really wanted to preach the other message, the one I worked on really hard. But if you know Jesus Christ, then it's important that you follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. So I wanted to go to Deuteronomy, but I told you we are going to go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 to 20. So I really need your help this morning. Older people, I need your help. I need you to pray, because I want to deliver this message because the Holy Spirit, I feel like, is impressing upon my heart that this is the time to do this message, not the other one that I really like. So if we can turn our Bibles to Ephesians 5. And I'll be reading from verses 15 to 20. That's Ephesians 5, 15 to 20. And if you know me, or at least heard me, at least, I want to give you some time to get there. So I'll start the message, and then I'll let you know when we're going to get there. Amen? All right. Thank you very much. The title of today's message is Making the Most of My Time, or in this case, Making the Most of Your Time. A seminary professor was invited to a lecture on a local congregation on the Old Testament prophets. Not noted for his brevity, the professor decided instead to select the major prophets. He was going to preach on all of the prophets, all of them. And he would lecture on all the major prophets. He took 45 minutes to talk about Isaiah, and then another 30 minutes to talk about Jeremiah. Then, after all that time, he looked at the weary congregation and said, "Now, to what place shall I give Ezekiel?" And the guy from the back said, "He can certainly have my place, because I'm headed home." Well, most of us could sympathize with that man, because we're pretty sensitive about the use of our time. With our busy schedules and our structured lives, we resent it when people infringe upon our time. The tick of the clock governs the length of our sleep, which I don't get much of, the beginning of our day's work, the eating of our meals, the departure of our planes, and the length of our classes and our sermons. Maybe we go to the extreme, but this time is very important for most of us. We're especially sensitive this time of the year. The snow is melting, Palm Sunday's coming, and right after that, Easter. We have a golden opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. But after that, then some of us wait to Christmas to share Jesus. So time is of essence. So now let us go to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 20. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. All of you should be there. I've given you enough time to get there. It says, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. First thing that we want to look at is the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians is a very concentrated book. It has a lot of doctrine in the beginning. It is not like the book of Galatians. So the book of Galatians deals with a heresy. It is not like the book of Romans or the book of 1 Thessalonians. Ephesians is like a concentrated book in which you pour water and then you come out with a whole bunch of Kool-Aid, if you know what I mean. So the book of Ephesians is concentrated. In the first 14 verses, there are no periods in the Greek. It is a long sentence. And this long sentence Paul talks about, he's talking about our inheritance in Christ and what the Father has done and what the Son has done and what the Holy Spirit has done and sealed us in verse 14. Then he talks about the doctrine of the Father in chapter 1, the doctrine of the Son in chapter 2, and the doctrine of the Holy Spirit in chapter 3. From chapter 4, 5, and 6, this is how we practically walk it out. Paul says in chapter 5, therefore be careful how you walk. And it's not the walking this way. It means how you live your life. Based on chapter 1, 2, and 3, which you study, now, based on that information, how you live your life should be in concert with chapters 1, 2, and 3. 4, 5, and 6 let you know how you live this thing out. And Paul says, be careful. Careful how you walk or live your life. Don't be unwise, but be wise. Now, what is wise living? Well, time is a very precious commodity, and we should value it highly. Would you agree with that? Time passes quickly. I know if you're young, you don't think of that. If you had a party that you were looking forward to, and it was next week, you would say, oh, how time goes so slow. But when the party came, and parents came to pick up children, you said, what happened to the time? It went so quickly. Isn't that what happens? That's what it is for me about a party. It goes, when things are happy, when things are nice, things go quickly. But now if you're older, you know that you can look at a child and then turn around and kind of look at your child again, and they went from here to here. Time goes fast. Then they went from here to here, and now they're at college. Then they went from here to here, and you're looking at grandchildren. It goes quickly. Time goes fast. And it doesn't stop, so we have to value it. A couple of months ago, we had the Super Bowl. And I don't know if you knew this, but for 1 minute, 1 minute, of airtime, it cost $1 million. 1 minute. The value of any commodity is determined by the law of supply and demand. Gasoline used to sell for 67 cents a gallon. And we know it's not. Now it's 367 some places, right? But water is more important than us than gasoline. If we had to live without gasoline, we could do much better. But if we had to live without water, I think it's 3 days that we can only live. Some things are precious. If there was a water shortage, most of us would probably give our whole life for a gallon of water if it meant we could live another week. Time is important. Time is more important than even water. And that certainly applies to our time. Life is the most precious commodity we have. What shall a man give in exchange for his life? Or what does it profit a person if he gains the whole world and loses his life? But the reason we spend our days and our hours so cheaply is that in our minds we think time is limitless. We have a great supply of time. But the Bible constantly reminds us that there's a shortage of life. Therefore, we ought to put a high premium on each day. Actually, we need to put a high premium on each minute of the day. The Bible uses about 18 metaphors to describe life, and they all emphasize its brevity. Life is compared to grass that quickly withers, flowers that fade, a tale that is quickly told, a ship that passes swiftly in the night, a weaver's shuttle that opens and closes, a shadow that quickly declines, a vapor that vanishes quickly away. In Psalms 90, verse 10, I want to turn to that. Psalm 90, verse 10. And I'm reading. Verse 10. As for the days of our lives, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow, for soon it is gone, and we fly away. There's no guarantee. This is not a promise from God that all of us will live to be 70. If you know anybody that has died before 70 and they were a believer, you know that this is not a promise from God. This is an average. We have about 70 years, some of us more or less. But what should we do? We should number our days. We should learn to number our days. Verse 12 says, so teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. In other words, teach us to number our days so we may recognize that there is a limited supply. Teach us, Lord, to be wise enough to value every day as important. Through the encouragement of I did something a while ago that someone encouraged me to do. That is, you try to number your days. Have you ever done that? Try to number your days. You have to know a little math to number your days. If you live to be 70, that means you have about 25,573 days to live. Isn't that neat? Not for me, because I'm past 35. So that would only give me 12,465 days left. The bottom line, as I calculated, if I stay at this church that long, and I preach maybe, what, 2 times a year? I don't have many more preaching engagements left. But if we had $12,464, and that's all we have for the rest of our lives, each dollar would be valuable. We would value each dollar. That's all we had. Isn't our life worth much more than a dollar? Days. And if something has recently happened to you in the twinkle of an eye, then you know time passes quickly. We must take advantage of the days. In 2 Corinthians 4:17, Paul says, for momentarily light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. When you're young, 70 sounds like eternity. But when you get past 35 and 40 and maybe 45 and pushing 50, you know it's right around the corner. Why am I pressing that? Why am I pressing that? I'm not supposed to be up here today. You know, Pastor Bissett preaches. So this was not planned. He definitely didn't plan to be where he was at right now. So let us, by the Holy Spirit, impress that upon our heart that each day is fleeting. We don't know what tomorrow holds. So let's be wise. Let's be wise and redeem our time, the scripture says. Since time is so valuable, we are foolish to waste it. Ephesians 5:17 says, do not be foolish. One of the ways we foolishly waste time is by failure to determine our priorities. In his book, Setting Men Free, Bruce Lawson tells of a little boy who kept asking his father to help him build a clubhouse in the backyard. And his father kept saying, that's a good idea, son. We'll do it someday. But every weekend, he was too busy with golf matches and social outings and business ventures that he kept putting it off. And one day, Lawson said his son was hit by a car. And the last words that the boy spoke to his father were, Dad, I guess we won't get to build that clubhouse. That's a story, and I'm hoping it's not true. Because then that man has to live with the guilt of that for the rest of his life. But that story does illustrate there are a lot of clubhouses that never get built. Children who never get the attention they merit from their parents. Wives who never get taken out. Oh, I should have taken that out of my notes. Bibles that never get read. Churches that never get attended because I don't have enough time. But all of us have exactly the same amount of time. It's a matter of what's important to us. We say we love Jesus. How much time do we spend with Jesus? We say we love Him, so then we need to love His church. How much time do we spend building a church? How much money do we spend pushing the gospel? I don't know. It's different for each one of us. But that's a question we have to answer. If it's important, then let's reflect. How important really is it? We foolishly spend an excessive amount of time on empty activities that bring momentary selfish pleasures but have no lasting value. Isaiah 55:2 asks, why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Settle your priorities. Put God first, family second, and then ask God for the wisdom to prioritize the rest. Another way we foolishly waste time is by failure to plan effectively. Some people plan time so poorly, it takes them 2 hours to watch 60 minutes on the TV. Some of you will laugh later when you get that. While I was in seminary, I failed to plan properly. I tried to take Hebrew, the language class Hebrew, over the summer. I was warned that I should not try to take anything else if I took that class. Although the class was only 3 hours a day, in order for a person to do well, you had to spend 5 hours a day after the class studying. You had to go over your vocabulary words. I ended up getting a part-time job late at night. And I tried to sneak in some TV time during the day. As a result, I received an F in the class and ended up taking the class over during the next semester. I had to pay for it twice. I wasted money and all the time because I failed to plan effectively. The Bible urges us to make the most of every opportunity. That doesn't mean that we have to live at breakneck speed. But it does mean we have to use our spare moments more wisely than we do if we plan effectively. For example, when riding in a car, rather than just sitting there, take advantage of the opportunity for conversation or listening to tapes or memorizing scriptures. When watching television, maybe we can do something productive with our hands, like knitting or sewing, which I don't do, but I guess you can do it. When riding a plane or a bus, read the newspaper, get caught up on current events, or memorize the scriptures. I know a man who, when he was jogging, takes along a 3x5 index card with scripture verses on them and memorizes the scriptures when he's jogging. Or, now that we have iPods, we can put it on a file, I think, and then listen to it. And then when we're doing some exercising or running, we can hear it. That's good. Because God's word is eternal. And if we're getting that eternal word in us, then it's good for us. That's taking advantage of the time. None of us ever accomplishes as much as Jesus did in a short span, though. He had 3.5 years of ministry, and yet he had time for the essentials. He would spend a day alone with God in prayer. He could spend an entire evening with friends casually visiting him in Bethany. On the night before he was crucified, he spent several hours with his disciples. Those things didn't just happen. Jesus planned his time. He would say things like, "My time has not yet come," or "Now I need to go to Jerusalem," or "My hour is at hand," or "If you go into Jerusalem, you'll find a colt there tied to a post. I've already made advanced plans with the owner." Or, "You'll follow a man with a pitcher of water and he will take you to the upper room. I've already pre-arranged things." You see, Jesus scheduled his time wisely and avoided the folly of haphazard living that so much plagues us. Perhaps one of the most flagrant waste of times is our failure to concentrate. And this is hard on the young generation because of all the videos that they're playing. I've heard that it messes with your concentration. We seldom give 100% of our concentration to anything we do. One businessman said that when he comes home at the end of the day, he sits in the driveway shifting gears. Not the gears of his car, he said. "I shift the gears of my mind for a few seconds. And I just remind myself that the people inside that home are the most important people in my life. And I'm going to give 100% to them when I go inside." I don't often do that, but that's a good exercise to do. Contrasted with Arthur Miller's play, The Misfits, when the counselor asked Rosalind what reason she is going to give the divorce court for leaving her husband, and she said, "Why don't we just say he was never there? Oh, you could reach out and touch him, but he wasn't really there." And most of us probably are not 100% when we are home anyway. When we're home with our families, we're thinking about our business. And when we're at our business, we're thinking about the fishing lake or the basketball court. And then when we go to get the entertainment and we think about how we ought to get back to business, or we think about church and we come to church and our mind wonders about what am I going to cook for dinner. Probably doesn't happen to you, but often to me. And when we go home with the family and we sit and we watch television, we're thinking about something else. Dr. Joyce Brothers said once that her husband is also addicted to TV football, that if she were to die on Monday, he would not know it unless they announced it on Monday Night Football. Four ways we can make the most of our time. Verse 16 says the days are evil. We need to understand the critical day in which we live. It's difficult to, I share something with you, it's difficult to preach things that are in your mind but not in your notes and you're not sure. But there are a lot of things that are taking place in the world that I prefer not to speak about, but Apple computers dropping apps, and there are a whole bunch of things. I mean, I've learned so many things from them. The Alpha Pregnancy Banquet. But there are so many things happening. The best thing to do is to pray. That's how we make our time most effective, is praying. Praying. Prayer. Prayer changes things. Ephesians 5, we're going to go back to that. Well, you probably stayed there, and I went over to Psalms. But Ephesians 5, it says, in verse 15, "Therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." We need to walk in God's will. When we understand what the will of the Lord is for our life, and we obey it, we're redeeming the time. That might mean that you have to cram a whole lot of activity into a short period of time, like Moses when he led the children out of Egypt, or Paul when he went on a missionary journey. Or it might mean that you have to sit back and wait like Moses did for 40 years in the wilderness. But whatever you're doing, if it's God's will, you're making the most of that opportunity. Whenever you disobey God, though, among the other things, it's a waste of time. God is patient toward us, not wishing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. Sin is a big waste of time. Since we don't want to dwell on that, we then need to be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says, be filled with the Spirit of God. Being filled. And what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit of God according to the Scriptures? It means to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Do we do that? When we're in the drugstore, when we're in the grocery store, when we're at school, do we sing to the Lord? I don't mean, oh Lord, la la la. No, they're going to put you in a crazy house if you do that. I mean to yourself. Do you just sing to the Lord? Are you standing online and the line is long? Or do you just, oh, I wish they would hurry up. I know I got to get back. There's a perfect time to sing to the Lord. Do we do that? That's redeeming the time. Billy Graham says to be filled, to be Spirit-filled is to be controlled or dominated by the Spirit's presence and power. Graham goes on to say, unfortunately, millions of God's people do not enjoy the unlimited spiritual wealth at their disposal because they are not filled with the Holy Spirit. And like you, I am looking forward to the series that Pastor's going to preach on the Holy Spirit. How about you? Are you filled with the Spirit? Are you seeking daily to walk in step with the Spirit? Every day, that's the key to making the most of your time. An interesting contrast is presented here. Just as a person can be under the influence of alcohol, Paul says, be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Are you under the influence? Is your actions controlled by the Holy Spirit? If someone say, hey, why are you doing that? Can you stop and say, what would you say? Oh, because everyone else is doing it? You should be able to say, because it says it in the Word. Or because God impressed it upon my heart this morning. We should be able to do that and say that if we're being controlled by the Holy Spirit. The more a person drinks, the less alert he is. If you drink alcohol, you're not as alert. But the more of the Spirit you drink, the more alert you'll be. In John 10:10, Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and they have it to the full. Or they, in the King James, they have it more abundantly. The fourth way we can make the most of our time is to worship God regularly. Look at Ephesians 5:19. It says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. When we are loaded down with problems and concerns, we can't come into this place and sing. There's a small chorus that says, we have come into this house to gather in your name to worship him. Let us forget about ourselves, concentrate on him, and worship him. Worship has a way of putting all of life in perspective. It's time to get our priorities straight. It's time to put God on the throne of our lives. J.C. Penney, you know him, don't you? Some of you know him. Many of you know a lot about him. You know, he made a store, J.C. Penney's. You know him, don't you? J.C. Penney. J.C. Penney was a successful and a businessman. He once said, if a man is so busy that he can't have time to worship God on Sunday, he's got more business than God intended him to have. We need to go to J.C. Penney's today, right now, and just put up that sign and say, look at that, look at what your founder said. No, just kidding. But it would be interesting. Most people don't know J.C. Penney said that. So one of the wisest resolutions you can make with your time is to be found worshiping with other believers every Sunday. I don't know about you, but this passage really challenges me. I want my life to count. But if my life is to count, I have to make time for it to count. I must walk in God's Spirit, worship him regularly, and put him first. In 1945, when Robert Lewis flew in that plane that dropped the atom bomb on Hiroshima, Lewis looked back on the mushroom cloud that was ascending from the earth, and he knew in his mind the kind of devastation that he had left behind. He had spoke just six words. He said, my God, what have I done? you and I are going to stand before the Lord one day. And He may ask us, what have you done? What will we be able to say? What would you say? Lord, I took the time to pray. Lord, I took the time to worship you on Sunday. Lord, I took the time to be with your people. Lord, I took the time to study your word. Will you be able to say that? Will I be able to say that? We are so grateful, so that Laurel Bissett is doing better. But was it a wake-up call for one of us? Is there something God is impressing upon your heart right now to do that you should have done last week, that you should have done yesterday, that you need to do now? No day is promised. No hour is promised. No minute is promised to either any one of us. I want to be able to say, Lord, I tried. In the power of your Spirit, I put forth some effort. I made some decision. I tried to help build your kingdom as I walked in your Spirit. I tried to stand for Jesus Christ. I tried to stem the tide of evil. I prayed when someone asked me to pray about the abortion issue. I prayed when someone asked me to pray about the murder rate. I prayed when I was being persecuted. I prayed for the persecuted church. Will you be able to say that? Will we be able to stand and say that? I made the most of every opportunity. A poet said, and I'm going to end with that, and then we're going to pray. I have only just a minute, just 60 seconds in it, forced upon me. Can't refuse it, didn't seek it, didn't choose it. I must suffer it or I'll lose it. Give account if I abuse it, just a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it. Let's pray. Most gracious Father, I tried. I tried to the best of my ability to communicate what it is that you had put on my heart. I pray that whatever frailties that I have, which are many, whatever miscues, miswords, twisted words that I've said, Lord, you would just cover that by your Holy Spirit, and the message itself will penetrate the hearts of your people. Help us, Lord, to use each and every minute for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.